What's going on, everybody? We're back. This is NBA Therapy, Episode 8. My name is Nate Dizer, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack. What's good?
And today is Wednesday. The NBA season is officially one day away. We're roughly 24 hours away from watching meaningful basketball played by the greatest players on this planet, and I am more hype than I've ever been. You know, I saw a crazy stat where the amount of time it's been since March when the season got canceled till tomorrow is the exact same time that an offseason is. It's like the exact same amount of days.
That's absurd. I didn't even know that.
It sure seems like it because it feels like it's been forever. And I can't wait. It's going to be so awesome.
I know. I mean, I really hope that they do take these regular season games seriously just because, I mean, I want to see meaningful basketball again, but, like, if we're going to have Clippers coasting in the regular season, these 8 games, we're going to have to wait another, 2 weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Plus, the Clippers, their whole lineup has been missing. Lou Will got suspended for, where'd he go? Like, he went to, like, a strip club and got, like, wings or something.
Yeah, Magic City.
Yeah, Magic City. So he got suspended, and I mean the Clippers haven't taken this regular season seriously. They're still a second seed, just shows how good they are. But I saw this. Have you seen Kawhi's scrimmage numbers? Again, I don't want to talk about scrimmages. I just thought it was interesting to see, because it was like just his shooting. So you'd expect him just to be shooting it well, and it was like horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
It was just shooting percentage. It was just shooting percentages. That's all I looked at. Obviously, he hasn't looked slow or anything, but it doesn't really matter. I just thought it was interesting. He's like 20 from the field, 20%, and like 20% from three.
Yeah, but I think he's one of the most flip-the-switch guys in NBA history that I've ever seen.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, it doesn't even matter. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I've never seen him shoot that poorly.
It was like 1 for 12 he started out. I was like, whoa.
But there's no reason to be concerned over it. And I just can't wait till it's back. And like you said earlier, I don't think they're gonna coast. I think most of these guys just can't wait to get back on a court and play where people, not obviously like physically in front of people, but where people can see them all across the world. Now it's gonna be really good basketball.
I don't know. I think it might be like the scrimmages. Like they played after they played the first two scrimmages, they were like, all right, we're good now, and they kind of just started sitting out, and I think it might be like that once the standings kind of settle in.
Really? You think that if, like, so in the East, the seeding still isn't really determined. If Boston's playing Heat, Miami, you think they're going to coast during it?
No, I think, last 3 games, like, let's say, like, it's all locked in, like, they're not going to still be playing to be in shape. They're just going to be like, all right, let's rest up, I feel like.
Well, just to get their chemistry back, I don't know. I feel like they should play hard. It's literally just 8. You're literally playing 8 games.
Yeah, I want to see great 8 games right here.
Hopefully they'll try. And I've seen this. I have to get this off my chest real quick before we get into the rest of this list and finally finish out. So people need, all these talking heads and media heads, we need to stop with the asterisk talk. People, I keep seeing segments where it's like, again, I'm not really watching them. I just see the headline, and it's, does this season have an asterisk, or this season has an asterisk, why this season has an asterisk? And how could you say that before the playoffs have even started? If everyone's healthy and playing hard, how could you say there's an asterisk? Honestly.
You know what it is?
If anything, it's harder.
It's the people who don't want to see LeBron win. Or the old heads who just believe the 90s were the greatest era of basketball and nothing comes close.
They should stop that because you could hit guys with a crowbar in the 90s and no one would call a foul. But honestly, like, let's say Boston just dominates and goes on a run for like 4 months, and Kemba, Jaylen, Tatum, they're all healthy, and all the big players that they run into to beat, like Giannis, let's say they play like the Clippers or Lakers, their guys are healthy. They beat Miami, Jimmy and Bam are healthy. Like, how could you say there's an asterisk? Honestly.
I don't get it. Asterisk. Yeah.
I mean, there's an asterisk if LeBron and AD get injured or something like that in the first round.
Yeah, that would definitely be, but you can't pre-call
then
it.
I'd be like, well, you won the championship, obviously, but who knows if you were actually the best team. I still obviously give you credit, but, you know, same thing with Kawhi last year. We all know the Warriors were going to win if they were healthy.
Yeah, you know what is absurd? That Kawhi gets more credit. I'm not going to get into it too much, but he gets more credit for that one ring against a broken down Warriors team than LeBron's three final trips from
People try to act like Kawhi's two rings, or people are trying to say that if Kawhi wins the title this year, his three rings mean just as much as LeBron's three.
Which is why I don't want to see him win it this year.
I disagree with that so much.
Yeah.
The first ring, he was like a cog in a machine. Like, they were all just as important as each other. Him, Duncan, Tony were easily the top three players. Like,
Tony was second team All NBA that year.
It wasn't like Kawhi was just this dominant player that, you know, was beating everyone in front of him. And in 2019, they don't even win if the Warriors stay healthy, which has been the story of LeBron's career the last 4 years, not winning because of the Warriors. He's like, I think since 2014, since that Spurs series, LeBron is 12-0 in playoff series that don't include the Warriors. 12-0. it's just the Warriors that he loses to. And, yeah, stop the asterisk talk. Let's actually let these guys play, but enough of that. Let's get right into this list. So, two episodes ago, we started the top 40 list of all the NBA players in the Orlando bubble. We did 40 through 20. Last podcast, last episode, we did 20 through 10. Originally, we decided to do 20 through 1. We were taking too long going through 20 through 10, and we wanted to, you know, break down each player in depth and have time to talk about it. So now we have time, 10 through 1. Just to leave off, I'll give my 15 through 11. Number 15, I had Pascal Siakam. Number 14, I had Kyle Lowry. 13, I had Chris Paul. 12, I had Jimmy Butler. 11, I have Paul George. So who was yours, 15 through 11?
I had 15, Zion Williamson. 14, Damian Lillard. 13, Pascal Siakam. 12, Joel Embiid. And 11, Paul George.
All right, let's get right into the top 10. I'll go first. Top 10, again, we talked about him last podcast. I had Damian Lillard.
Top 10. Okay.
Here's my thing. I think so. From what we've seen with him in the last few years, I don't think you can use the argument that his numbers don't translate to wins, because they clearly do. And I don't think his play style has changed in any way. It's just the team around him has fitted a little differently. He's been healthy. He's been playing, you know, the whole time. His numbers haven't slipped. He's still been good. And I look at, you know, this is partly a respect pick, partly who I know he's going to be. But if they do sneak into the playoffs, or just having Damian Lillard on my team, I would love to have, basically because he was the catalyst of a Western Conference Finals team last year. So most of it has to do with respect, but I don't think his numbers have slipped. I think he's still an amazing leader, amazing teammate, knows when to sacrifice, gives CJ his touches, gives Carmelo his touches. He knows how to fit in. It's just the team doesn't really know how to fit in with him, and it's ultimately the team's job to fit in with the best player, and I don't think Portland has done a great job with that, especially with Nurkic out the whole year pretty much.
Here's my thing. If you're a top 10 player and you have a guy like CJ McCollum on your team, you're in the playoff picture if you're top 10. That's what I believe. And he hasn't shown me enough that he can be a good number two guy on a really good team either. So, as a number one that hasn't been in the playoff picture this year, I can't put him top 10.
This is my thing. Because I know CJ's good, but again, they have the exact same game. Like, who else would be top 10? If you had a player like James Harden, James Harden's a bad example, but it's just, after you get through CJ, who, again, has the identical game to Dame, it's just a budget version of his, it's just B, C players. They lost all their guys. Rodney Hood, has he been playing? What team is he on? Or is he injured? I'm not going to lie. I haven't really been following up with what he's been doing.
He might be on a Blazer still. He probably is.
Either way, I haven't seen much from him. Anthony Simons, who at times looks like the third best player, has been in and out of the lineup in rotation. I want to say he was injured or he missed time somehow or he just isn't playing enough. Again, they were the only team to sign Carmelo. They really needed help. They lost all their wing defenders. They lost Seth Curry, huge shooter, probably their seventh man at the time, who's been great for Dallas. They lost a lot of players. They lost a lot of good players. And look, they should be in the playoffs. I'm not going to excuse that, but this is more of a respect pick for me just because I know who Damian Lillard is, and I know Damian Lillard is a top 10 guy.
Look, I'm not going to say that the case is true or anything, because I don't believe it is at all. But there's definitely a case that Devin Booker and Bradley Beal have had very similar seasons to Damian Lillard in terms of where their teams are, how much they do for their team, in what kind of way. And I think that you have Damian Lillard a bit
high. I agree
with
that, but none of them have done what none of them have done like something even close to what Damian Lillard did last year. Not even in the same atmosphere, like close. So,
well, if we're being honest, Damian Lillard had a lot of help last year.
Yeah, and he went to the Western Conference Finals.
But it wasn't because of him. Like,
it was because of him. If he doesn't play, they don't get past the first round. And
he doesn't play well in those second and Western Conference Finals rounds, though.
Yeah, but how many guys have played really well in a conference finals type thing? There's like six guys in the league who raise their game in those type of moments.
I mean, I didn't have
and how many
much
guys
lower.
Can even how many guys can even get there?
I didn't have him too much lower. I just don't think that he's not as relevant in the playoff picture. That's my thing.
But what about, I know this year, but I'm factoring what he did last year and the player who I know he is, the leader I know who he is, the teammate I know he is, I couldn't keep him out of that top 12, top 10 range.
Look, as much as Paul George is disappointing and he's not the ideal number one guy, I feel like as a number one guy, he's always been in the playoff picture.
Yeah, but what if he gets injured?
Damian Lillard wasn't injured. Was he?
No, I'm talking about Paul George. When Paul George gets injured.
Like, I don't get it.
You're saying you had Paul George high on your list. So you're saying Paul George, you think is a more reliable number one option? First of all, he got destroyed in that OKC series by Damian Lillard. Like, after that, I don't know how you have Paul George over him. Consider Paul George has missed most this year. But, look, Damian Lillard's been playing hard. He's stayed healthy. Paul George has been getting injured, has crumbled in the last two playoff series we've seen him in, but Dame has been the better number one option. I don't know how you have him higher.
Dame has had some lackluster games too, but the reason I have him higher is because I think he's better. I think he's a better number two option than Damian Lillard can be. He's better
we've
and more
seen
facets
Paul George
of the game.
We've seen Paul George as a number two option for like half this season on a minutes restriction. How are you going to say you know he's going to be better?
Well, he's better at a lot more of the facets of the game.
His first year in OKC, when he was the number two option behind Westbrook, he didn't even make the All-Star game.
You're right. I probably, if I redid this list, I might have Lillard higher than George. But it wouldn't feel right if I put George down at what, like 13? Because I couldn't put George.
No. We had George in the same spot. It's just, you know, no, Paul George is in a good range. I just think you had Damian Lillard a little too low.
I can't put Lillard lower than Embiid or Siakam.
I don't know. I'd put him above Siakam. But whatever. Who'd you have at number 10?
I had Kyle Lowry.
There he is. Finally, yeah. Kyle Lowry rears his head on Steven's list. So wait, we had him in a pretty similar range. I had Lowry 14th.
You had him a bit low.
Well, no, I had Lowry 14th. You had Lowry 10th. You had Damian Lillard 14th. I had Damian Lillard 10th.
Yeah, so
literally we just switched those.
I just let me make my case for Lowry.
Make the case, because I'm going to agree with most you say.
He's one of five guys to be an all-star in each of the past six seasons. He's been consistent. Yep. And he's one of the top 10 guys who will help you win a meaningful game of basketball. He's been the heart and soul of the Raptors team. He is the number one guy on that team. He was the number he's the number two guy on a championship team. He's a great leader. He sets good precedents for the team. He's one of the smartest players in the league. He has championship DNA. He's averaging 25-8 this year. He's had more 35-point playoff games than your guy Damian.
He's averaging 25 a game?
20 a game. 25-8.
Oh, 25-8. I was like, whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah, I should make that more clear. He's had more 35-point playoff games than Damian Lillard and CP3, which you would probably rate over him, right?
Yeah, I had them both over him.
Yeah, he's had more 35-point playoff games. He's not even a scorer like them.
Well, first of all, I don't know how many playoff games he's probably been in more because he's been the second option most of his playoff games.
Is that a bad thing?
Lillard and CP is the first option. Well, it's harder to be a first option because most of the defensive attention goes to you. And second, are points really everything? Is that what we're doing here?
No, but for Kyle Lowry, those points are more meaningful. Lowry scores 35, they just are. All right. Kyle Lowry, he took over that game six, and I can't say Damian Lillard has ever been. I'm not saying he didn't, but...
Just to act like, you know, his numbers, what he puts up, are in the same meaning as Lillard and Chris Paul when they're the number one options isn't fair. Because you know they get more attention. That's your whole argument with Steph Curry as number one option. Steph Curry gets most of the attention. The number one option always gets the most attention. So it's easier for the second option to score. Hence why I have James so high.
And second option. I mean, 35 as second option is pretty good, but...
No, it's amazing.
Thing is, what's it? So he's not that, like, stats aren't his friend yet in terms of wins above replacement. Since 2013, he's had higher than guys like PG, AD, Lillard, Russ. He's top seven in win shares and real plus minus. He was averaging 24 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists in March before the shutdown.
He's a bucket.
Against Boston and Milwaukee, the top teams, he's averaging 24 a game on 49, 47, 88 splits. Like, he's just gonna be a gamer. Good against them.
He's just a gamer. He always rises, what I've seen, he rises to the occasion against good teams. Dame's stats are ridiculous.
He rises when his teammates need him to. Like, in game one against Milwaukee last year, I know they lost, but he shot 5 for 7 for 15 points in the fourth quarter, and the rest of the team...
Fair, in the Philly series, he wasn't great.
But here's the thing,
because your argument for Dame is he had a bad series. You know, Kyle Lowry had a bad series too.
I'm just saying that game one against Milwaukee, his fourth quarter was spectacular. 5 for 7 on field goals. The rest of his team shot 0 for 15. Nick Nurse said this year that the Raps were clearly Kyle's team, which is true.
They are.
Yeah, and he's had big playoff moments. Game 7 in the second round versus Miami in 2016, he dropped 35-7-9 with 4 steals, 5-for-7 on threes. He won that game for them. In Game 4 in 2016 against the Cavs, he tied up that series 2-2. He dropped 35. Obviously, they went to lose that series, but...
And you know, I'm looking at my list. I probably could have had Lowry like a spot or two higher. I probably should have had him like 12th.
Yeah, I was going to say 12th is a good place to have him. Game 6 last year of the finals, we know what happened. That 26-7-10.
Yeah.
And he makes winning plays in clutch moments. Like, even this year's All-Star game, the best of the best.
He does whatever it takes to win, and stats don't like indicate that, whether it's a loose ball, taking a charge, throwing like a full court assist, hitting a spot up three, like literally anything he'll do to win. So yeah, no, you're preaching the choir right now.
And he's arguably the best defending point guard other than Drew Holiday in this list.
Yep.
So that's my case for Kyle Lowry. I believe he's really number 10.
He is the most disrespected player in the entire league. People still disrespect him. Like, most people's lists, I bet, would have him, like, barely top 20.
Yeah.
Which is, do you watch basketball?
That's exactly what I would say.
All right, let's move on to number 9. Number 9, I have, again, you mentioned him earlier, I have Joel Embiid.
You know, that's not too high. I see some guys put him 7 and stuff like that. I think that's too high. 9, I understand it. But
Lame case.
Okay.
Like you said with Kyle Lowry, I know it's an all-star game, but crazy as it seems, with Giannis and all those weapons on Team Giannis's, guess who they went to in crunch time? Yeah, Joel Embiid. All right, I know he struggled a little bit, which is why I didn't feel great about putting him here, but again, he's shooting about 35% from 3, which isn't that bad when you compare him to most 3-point shooters. And he's not shooting a ton in volume. He's dialed it back a little bit. And again, 35%, that's fine. He's still getting 23 and 13. And people aren't really mentioning this. He's only playing 30 minutes, kind of like a Giannis situation. And he's still getting 23 and 13 while he's sharing the rock with Simmons, who I think, not sure, has a higher usage rate, like per possession. I'm not sure about it. But he just manages to be dominant in like 20 minutes. Take this from someone who was watching the Nets series last year. Or no, 2 years ago. Wait. No, yeah, last year. The Nets 76ers series. And Embiid would check in, check out. He'd play like 30 minutes, and he would end with like 40 and 15 and just dominate us. It didn't even make sense to me. It would be the quietest 40. And again, he's one of the most unstoppable players in the league. And with all of his flaws, you know, plays back to the basket in an era like this. Doesn't have a great attitude at sometimes, a little bit out of shape. He is still so dominant, and as a ceiling raiser, and a guy who led the team to take the defending champs last year to a game 7, the only team to do that. It's just I love Embiid. He's a baller and two-way player. Again, he's been shooting it better from 3. Can get to the rim. Has nice dribble moves, definitely gets to the free throw line, gets contact. I love Embiid. I think he's definitely top 10, or borderline at least.
So he can do all this stuff, but how do you explain him shortchanging himself and not doing all this stuff because he's lazy or just doesn't feel like it?
Well, part of that, I think, is that, you know, he's from, where's he from? Cameroon?
Okay.
I hope I'm not wrong. I think he's from Cameroon.
I think so, too. So
I don't think he's been playing basketball his whole life. Again, I don't know a ton about him. But just what he has been able to do, I think part of it is with coaching, in that, you know, it's the coach's job to elevate the player. And I feel like Brett Brown hasn't elevated Embiid at all. I think most of it is just Embiid, you know, kind of elevating himself. And people want to say he's lazy, but he has totally transformed his body, where he used to be a twig, like, before he got into the league. A twig. And now he's one of the strongest and jacked players in the league. Again, he's got a little bit of weight on him. I'm not disputing that. And he does look tired at the end of playoff games. But for what he's able to do, and just dominating on both ends, is just, it's crazy. And even with playing Ben Simmons and how they don't really complement each other, he can still be so dominant. I think he can win an MVP in his career. I really do. If he was in the right system and just got to dominate and do whatever he wanted, he could put up like 35 and 13. I really do think that. Maybe not 35, 32 and 13.
I don't think he can win MVP. I don't see that in a ceiling. I believe he can be a
regular season MVP, not one of our MVPs.
No, I think he can be great in the playoffs. If I can't say MVP, because I think that big men are too, a guy like him is too fragile to win an MVP, or he's too inconsistent.
That's true. That could end it.
But
just how dominant he is.
I can't put him there that high. Like, who did you have him over? List some guys. I just want to see where you're coming from.
Dame, PG, Jimmy Butler, CP, Lowry, Siakam, Westbrook,
your boy Ben Simmons. I don't know how you had him over Lowry. Lowry is...
It's just Lowry, I mean, straight up, like, Lowry can't do what Embiid does. And I've used this argument all the time. If you swap Embiid with Lowry, the Raptors are killing the Sixers. If you just swap those two players in the series, like, it's not even a series. That's why I think Embiid's better. Because if you don't make that swap, then it is a very, very, very close series. I think if you swap Embiid, it ends before seven.
I disagree. I don't think the Raptors would they'd rather have Lowry than Embiid. Embiid is
just as a ceiling raiser, what Embiid can do. And again, we've seen him share the rock with Simmons. So I'm not saying he's playing as a second option, because he is their first option, in my opinion. But he is, you know, he can be dominant in many roles with whoever. I mean, Philly doesn't even have that many shooters, and the lane is always clogged, and he still is dominant. And he's actually, he's more efficient than I thought. His numbers are just, with all that, he's still shooting about 48% from the field. While playing amazing defense.
How about his playoff field goal percentage? It's around, well,
against, what, against 42? Brooklyn, it was... Against Brooklyn, it was really good, but against Toronto, it was really bad, because they had every guy in the league that you'd want to guard Siakam. I mean, not to guard Siakam, to guard Embiid, guard him. Think of all the players they had to throw at him. Gasol, Ibaka, Siakam, Kawhi. They have so many players to throw at him. Just like what they did with Giannis. They're the perfect team to guard him. So I don't think that's, you know... Like, I know he struggled, but they had all the players in the world to guard him. I mean, who did, like, that's just my thing.
No, I get it, I get it.
I think if Jokic faced that team, like, who did Portland have to guard Jokic? You know what I mean? No one. Like, he's supposed to dominate. And I'm not taking anything away from Jokic, because I have Jokic higher on this list. But... I could see that. I'm like, oh yeah, Jokic did his thing, but he had no one to guard him. And I think Jokic would struggle at least a little bit against those Raptors defenders.
Yeah. He's not better than Simmons. And that leads me to my number nine. Number nine, I have Ben Simmons.
That's insane.
All right, so I originally had a 9. That's insane. I moved him down to 10 because it felt kind of high. But after seeing those threes go up, he's back at 9 for me.
Yeah, in a scrimmage. That's what made you scrimmage threes. Are you serious?
All right, I'm going to make my case. So first of all, can we talk about his scrimmages really quick? He looked great in his scrimmages.
All right.
Amazing. Like, he looked top.
It's a scrimmage. Like,
okay. So when the playoffs roll around and Simmons is playing great, we'll talk.
We'll talk, because I didn't see him play great last playoffs in that Sixers series. That Sixers-Toronto series you always have to talk about. He wasn't great in that series either.
Can you name me a level of the game that Simmons isn't elite at besides shooting?
Steven, that's like the biggest one. That's your whole argument with Steph Curry.
No, imagine my argument Steph is Curry, that his shooting is so...
Imagine Steph Curry could shoot as well as Ben Simmons.
No, my thing isn't that you're, like, if you're bad at shooting, you're bad. My thing is that if you're so good at one thing, it's, like, it's that valuable. So, Ben Simmons is elite on every level of the game except shooting.
What about...
How many guys are...
What about shooting free throws?
That's part of shooting. How many guys are an elite passer, an elite driver, and an elite defender? It's him, LeBron.
No, wait. You know his biggest weakness is playing in the half court.
No, it's not. Not anymore.
Yeah, bro. You watch. Okay, you wanted to mention playoffs. When we see him in the playoffs last year in that Philly Toronto series, even the Nets series, he didn't even know what to do on some of those possessions in the half court with Jared Dudley of all people guarding him.
It's because of Embiid.
How can you say that it's because of Embiid when Embiid's the better dominant player?
He's not better. I'm going to get into my case now. Let me make my case.
Why are you saying that? I don't understand that.
I have a pretty big case, so I'm going to make it right now.
You think that's more of an Embiid problem than a Simmons problem?
The Sixers are a problem. Yeah, because of Embiid, yeah.
No, you're just wrong. You're not right about – you're just wrong on that.
Oh, my. All right, so Simmons is a top two defender in the league. He's probably been first this year because he actually guards the other team's best defender. As, like, I saw a stat that, like, combined, like, how often you're the first option on offense and the guarding the best player on defense, and he was, like, number one in the league, like, by a pretty wide margin.
No, I'm with you. He would have won Defensive Player of the Year if he stayed healthy.
He can guard 1 through 5. That's not an understatement. It's astounding how much he does on the offensive end, despite how much effort he puts on the defensive end. He's actually conditioned, unlike your boy Embiid. He's an amazing driver of the ball, shooting 72% at the rim. His inside game reminds me.
What about when he can't get to the rim in tough playoff games? You want to mention Simmons is better? Embiid, why did Toronto give Embiid most of the attention?
Well, because it's hard to explain that. Because it really has to do with how they both work. Because Embiid's best in the post. Simmons,
you
want to
know why?
Because they'd rather have making Simmons, plays.
They'd rather have Simmons be dominant than Embiid. That's why.
Who would you rather have as your number one guy on your team, Embiid or Simmons?
Embiid.
Really? I can't believe you're saying that.
Yeah, Embiid. Because it's this simple. When you look at the team around Embiid, it doesn't fit him at all. When you look at the team around Simmons, it doesn't fit him at all. And who's done better with it?
Which one elevates others?
I don't have a crystal ball to tell me what they're going to do when it's just shooters and they get space. Given what I have and what I've seen them do, I would go Embiid. But I would not be shocked if Simmons does better because I don't know what either of them would look like in that situation. And you want to mention elevating others. You say Kawhi doesn't elevate others, and that worked out pretty well for him last year.
But elevating others is a factor. I'm not saying it's the only factor, but it is a big factor.
It is. It definitely is. I'm not saying it's not. But, I mean, we've seen players win finals MVPs and be dominant when they weren't elevating others and they were just destroying other people. Like, Allen Iverson got to a finals, and I wouldn't say he was the best at elevating others.
All right, let me finish my case. He's only 4 players in NBA history have averaged 16, 7, and 8 on 50% field goal percentage. Him, Wilt, Magic, and LeBron. In transition, he's a top 3 player in the league. He's literally unstoppable.
Yeah, I'm with you in transition.
He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He has a lower...
No, he needs the ball in his hands. No, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. He can't play off ball. That's where you're wrong.
First of all, he has a lower usage rate than Josh Richardson, Tyler Hero, Bobby Portis, Malik Beasley. He's one of the lowest...
Yeah, but that's per possession. Those guys don't play a ton of minutes, so when they're in, they're trying to get theirs.
I filtered it, so it'd be guys who played 30-plus minutes a game. You can go look it up.
Tyler Hero has a higher one.
You can go look it up. I discounted all the other guys. There's so many guys who have a higher usage rate than Simmons. Simmons has a 20-point-something usage rate. It's absurdly low for a guy who's putting up those numbers. His usage rate is one of the lowest I've ever seen for a guy who's doing that much. So he's one of the best passers in the game. And even his coach, Brett Brown, says he wants Simmons with the ball at any time, which sadly Embiid kind of shortchanges that. Simmons been working on a shot. And Simmons said this. He said he'd rather be a guy. I mean, he said he could be a guy shooting 30% from three, but he wants to be a guy shooting 40% from three. I really like that. I think that...
Well, that doesn't work in playoff series when they can just play off of you and clog the lane.
Again, have you seen him in the scrimmages? There are certain things...
You're comparing the scrimmages to playoff games.
It doesn't take that much to see certain things from certain... Like,
and you love plus minuses. Plus minus is like 1.
No, his plus minus is defeated by Embiid.
Oh my God.
Look at his plus minus without Embiid.
You blame everything he does wrong for Embiid. You just say it's Embiid.
There's a reason why that has been the ongoing trade rumor. It's because that duo doesn't work like that. I think Embiid is really holding him back. But look,
Simmons is holding Embiid back too.
Look, here's the thing. He might not be a good shooter, but his shooting doesn't affect the other parts of his game nearly as close as much as it should because he's been so smart about it. He's still able to play make so well despite how bad he's shooting by sealing off defenders. He's able to drive by finding
Magic was one of the best playmakers in the league, and he couldn't shoot, so...
It was a different era, but the thing is...
There's a lot of players that can't shoot and are great playmakers.
Simmons is one of the best playmakers in the game. So, let's not forget, he shoots a higher percentage on jump shots than Jimmy Butler, who you think defenses automatically respect. I get the respect.
How many jump shots is he taking?
No, I get that. I'm just
hook shots.
I just want to throw that out there just because you love Jimmy Butler and more than Simmons. But they're barely over 500 without him, whereas they're 33-21 with him. And they went on that win streak in like Simmons' rookie season when Embiid was injured. You can really tell that team is a totally different team without Embiid.
I've always said this about that. About that win streak. It was like a 16-game win streak. And when did it happen? All at the end of the year. And you know when that happens? When teams are resting their players and not caring about it. So you can't act like it's like the middle of the season. They just pulled off all these wins. Most teams, like, I saw the stats of like the teams they played, their highest scoring leaders. And it was like, it was guys like DJ Augustine. Like, routinely in the best player that was played against the teams they played. They played a bunch of bench teams. That's what they played.
Okay, let me continue. I get what you're saying, though. But, look, Embiid has missed 3 playoff games. Simmons has missed 0. Embiid has missed 3 playoff games, and they're 2-1 on those playoff games.
Yeah, but Embiid, I mean, Simmons was going to miss playoff games had this season not been canceled. That's why I docked him. That's why I moved him lower. Because if...
And but we're like, talking in a bubble now. It's a totally different scenario. We're not talking...
No, but... That's my thing. Like, he got injured and he was out for so long. I don't know if he's going to get injured again because he didn't even play his first real season due to an injury. So, again? that was my theme with him. And Embiid stayed healthy for a while. Like,
your whole thing on that is that
big injury. Because Simmons got injured when the playoffs would have been played, which is when you need to stay healthy, he just got lucky. So I had to dock him a few spots because of that.
Really, you're going off of what if, whereas Embiid has missed 3 playoff games.
Yeah, but if before those 3 playoff games, the season got canceled like this, and then Embiid would have got to play when he was healthy later on, this wouldn't have been a debate. Like, coronavirus is unprecedented.
Okay, Simmons, it would have, but Simmons we're talking lucky. The best players Philly in the not, bubble. We're not taking the best players from March.
Yeah, but you have to factor in injuries.
So is he healthy now? Is that the question?
Is he going to be healthy for the next 4 months? I don't know. Next 3 months? I don't know.
I put my money on Simmons over Embiid being healthy.
Well, I saw Simmons would have missed. Simmons was out for like three. Would have been out for like 3 months.
Embiid didn't play last scrimmage. I don't know why.
It's right? A scrimmage. You care too much about scrimmages.
Why is Simmons really playing then? Why is every other starter playing? Embiid's not getting special treatment.
It's a scrimmage. Bro, are you serious?
So, right. Okay, so let me continue. So, we were calling Draymond top 10, top 15 in 2015 through 17, right? Yeah. Is that agreeable?
Yeah, he was top. He ranked like 14th among NBA teams.
Simmons does what Draymond does, except he averages 17 and 8, has elite playmaking, and is one of the biggest threats in transition. Where am I wrong?
We haven't seen Simmons do what Draymond has done consistently in the playoffs. And we haven't seen Simmons be the defender that Draymond was in the playoffs and make all those decisions that he makes and basically find all those shooters and run their offense, be a vocal leader. Come on, stop doing that.
I think that he's everything Draymond was with elite playmaking and transition threat, but and a better finisher. Simmons actually kind of reminds me of Jason Kidd, but taller.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he's kind of a Magic Johnson, Draymond Green hybrid when he's at his best. And Simmons without Embiid over that injury stretch earlier this year.
I gotta see it in the playoffs.
He was 22-9-8, and he was being the best defender on the court. He was being the best defender on the court.
I've been saying that he was amazing on defense.
And transition, we've talked about like his wraparound passes, his layups, dunks. He's crazy in transition. And even without a shot, the offense is fully flowing with him. Like, he's great on the elbow, in transition, even in the half-court setting. Set a pick, he's gone to the rim. But let's talk about playoffs, because you say he hasn't shown up in the playoffs. He hasn't had a big sample size, but he's...
I mean, like Draymond has, like, consistently over multiple years in finals.
Look, remember that 2018 series against Miami? Simmons averaged 18, 11, and 9 with 2.5 steals. Embiid missed 2 games and averaged 19 and 10 on 42% shooting. Like, Simmons, I'm pretty sure, has a higher shooting percentage.
Yeah, and who had a better series against Toronto, the better team?
They both had I'm pretty sure that they had, like, around similar game scores, actually, so.
Simmons averaged, like, 13 points a game. He couldn't score against them.
He brings so much more to the table than scoring. So much more.
Yeah, but when he's not scoring and those teams can just literally stay in the paint against him, like, have you seen when guys defend him literally in the paint?
Would you feel the same way about Magic Johnson if Magic Johnson was in a game
different
of high
era. State? Different era. Because three-point shooting wasn't valued like it was back then.
Again, you're going to see...
If Magic Johnson played now, his game would be different.
You're going to see Simmons taking 2 to 3 threes a game, or around 1 to 3 threes a game this playoffs.
All right, when I see it in the playoffs, again, I'll rank him higher if I see it, but I haven't seen it, and the injury just scared me a little bit. That's it.
Guess what happened Embiid went down in Game 3 versus Brooklyn last year? Simmons dropped 31-9.
Yeah,
11 of 13 on field goals, 9 of 11 from free throws.
Yeah, what did he do the game before?
I don't know. What did he do the game before?
Oh, no, wait. You mentioned game 3 when you said that?
Yeah.
What did he do in game 1?
Might have been bad, but again, I'm saying without Embiid, that's what he's capable of. My case isn't with Embiid. But he's not
You got to play with the guys you're with.
Look, I'm not afraid of him choking. He shot 80% from the field and 83 from the line in Game 7 against Toronto last year. In that Game 7. People think he's a bad playoff performer just because he's not dropping 25 a game, but he's
again,
the best.
Again, you're pulling these random games. I'll pull a few random games too where he was terrible.
So you think he's not a good playoff performer because he's not dropping 25 a game, but
he can do what Embiid has done.
But take away the points. He's the best playmaker, transition player, defender, and teammate on the floor.
We've seen in the playoffs that the game slows down and transition doesn't matter as much. We all see that. The game always slows down.
He has a bigger impact on winning, I think. Look, his rookie year, he took his team from 28 wins to 52 wins with no other changes to the roster.
I'm not debating that. I'm just look and like you also mentioned that Embiid played that too. Like Embiid played too.
Embiid was playing the year before and he had a losing record. He was 13-18.
Yeah, Simmons didn't even play his first year.
Yeah, but Embiid wasn't playing well with the same roster.
Yeah, how long ago was that? 3 years ago?
So you're telling me Simmons got worse?
I'm telling you, Embiid got better.
Simmons has got better. Defending, he's gotten better.
Embiid's
gotten way better. Shooting, he's got better, and you'll see that. But, look,
okay,
are we forgetting that
him,
he literally
when
turned
I see
around?
Him shoot threes, he'll be higher on my list. But you're acting like he's shot threes before in meaningful playoff games. So once I see that, I'll rank him higher. Again, like, I'm subject to put him higher. But from what I've seen, the injury and all of what's going on with that team and
keep telling me about the injury,
it's one thing to shoot threes in a scrimmage and in practice or whatever, but it's one thing to take a three in a meaningful playoff game. Like, you have to be extremely confident to shoot that. And if you're not, you're not going to shoot that. And the teams are going to sag off you like they always do to him in the playoff games.
The confidence is there. I've been following 76ers beat reporters. It's there.
Saying that, like, for so long.
Watch his interviews in this from these coming scrimmages, you'll see.
When he's pulling threes like that in game five of the second round, then we'll talk. But for now, you have him way too high.
And are we forgetting the fact that he literally turned around the whole 76ers franchise? He made the process seem like a reasonable thing. He is the reason.
Joel's nickname is the process.
He's not the reason the process is viable.
His nickname is the process.
No, he's not. He's not the process. Simmons is that's in his the process.
Nickname. All right, tell us fans who gave him that nickname.
And Michael Jordan's nickname is GOAT, but we both disagree.
No, his nickname is Air Jordan.
Simmons, I believe, can be the best guy on a finals team.
Finals.
If he's bold given the statement. Right team.
Bold statement.
Simmons is really good, and you're going to see that. And when he starts, you're going to realize how good he's been.
When I see that, I'll put him higher.
When I see that, I'll be like, I knew it all along. So that's my case for Simmons.
I can't believe you have him that high. All right, number 8. Let's get into some new players. Who do you have? Number 8.
This is so hard. I have to make a decision right now. I don't know. I had them tied.
Uh-oh.
You go first. I have to think about this.
All right. Number 8. You might disagree with this. This will be interesting. You know what? I need to think about this too. My 8 through 6. No, my 8 through 7.
It's just 7 and 8. Yeah, for me. 7 and 8. I think we both are the same.
I think the same guys. Wait, I'll give it to you guys I'm debating. Luka Tatum.
Whoa. Oh, we have very different lists.
Don't tell me you think different James Harden.
I've got Jokic and AD.
That's
And I'm going to put AD 7. I mean 8.
Oh my god. All right. Now you're giving LeBron you think AD's the 8th best player in the league?
Okay, when you say best like that, it kind of alters things.
Change that list.
No, I had them tied right now, but the thing is I have Jokic. I think Jokic can be the best player on a finals team, and I don't think AD can. But everything else supports AD.
Stop. Why do you think that? Please tell me why.
Which part of it?
Why you think Jokic can be the best player on a finals team and Davis can't?
Because Jokic has been in the league for this long, and he's already been a 2 and 3 seed consistently. And I expect him to be with improving young guys around him. And
he's
better as a centerpiece offense.
Okay, first of all, Davis destroyed Portland, right? Destroyed them. Jokic barely got past San Antonio. What do you mean? San Antonio was worse than that Portland team. We're comparing what they've done against who they played, right? So Davis destroys Portland. I'm pretty sure they swept them. Wasn't even close. Davis puts up like 30-13. Two steals, two blocks, 1.5, 1.5, around there, right?
If you're talking like that, next series,
Stop. Next series, they go to 5 against Golden State, who ended up winning the title. Next series, Denver loses in 7 to Portland, who the year before Davis destroyed. What's your case?
Well, the Golden State, Steph Curry was out for 2 or 3 games. AD has 1 playoff series win his whole career.
So does Jokic.
Look at the years. AD's team has never been a top 4 or 5 seed in the West. He's never even given his team a shot to be a contender. That Portland series was a surprise Holiday Denver's played out of his mind.
Oh, wait, stop. Denver's good, but do you expect them as like a contender?
You didn't have Jamal Murray on your list. So Jokic doesn't play with a top 40 player, if I'm correct.
Yeah, but that whole team fits around him so well. Like, there's so many guys on that team that play well and are in, like, that 40 to 50 range.
AD literally refuses to play center because he believes that his teammates will play better if he plays power forward.
Bro, you're acting like Davis is, like, a locker room cancer. He's been amazing for the Lakers. He's the best second-best player in the league. And you love Kyle Lowry for fitting with a team. Davis fits in with that team perfectly with LeBron. Literally, they're the perfect match. And that's because Davis is one of the best defenders in the league. He Bro, he's look. You don't get caught up on if they're listed at center. He plays like it.
No,
you can't get caught up listed like that.
Because he doesn't want to play center, they have to throw out JaVale McGee out there, or they have to throw out Dwight Howard Osick in his Pelicans days.
Where did you get Omar Osick from?
In his Pelicans days, they had to throw him out there because Davis didn't want to play center. He literally refuses to play center.
Yeah, and with all that, he destroyed Portland. Like, you're acting like that didn't happen. Why didn't Denver?
You're acting like Jokic has ever had.
Why didn't Jokic beat Portland?
Because he didn't have a Jrue Holiday dropping 30 a game.
I mean, Jamal Murray basically dropped 30 every other game. And who did Davis have? Who did Davis have after Jrue Holiday?
He had Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Tyreke Evans, DeMarcus Cousins, Mirotić.
Look at these names. Cousins didn't even play most of that series and was banged up. All right, yeah. Tyreke Evans speaks for itself. Mirotić shot like 25% from three in the playoffs. He was bad. And what? Who's left?
Eric Gordon, Denver, Ryan Anderson.
Look at Denver. Yeah. Wait, Eric Gordon was not on the team in 2018. He was in the Rockets. And
no, I'm saying that's the players he's played with.
I'm talking about when they play Portland, when they've been in the playoffs. When you look at Jokic, he's got, again, Jamal Murray for his struggles. At least on some games, he's a great player. Gary Harris, who was good in those series. Again, this year he's been a little bad, but those series he's been good. Paul Millsap, great vet. Will Barton, who I love. I think it's sometimes he's the second best player on the court. That Denver just plays really hard and plays really well together. Davis as a ceiling raiser, just the two-way stuff is just ridiculous from Davis. He's so skilled on offense, can pretty much score anywhere on the court. Like Jokic, you made this argument in that Dream Team podcast that you have to run the offense around Jokic. You don't have to run the offense around AD because he's still productive with LeBron as the main focal point of the offense. Can fit in better with the team than Jokic. I don't know how you have them.
Look, that's part of the reason why I had them tied. Look, this is a tie for me. I put Jokic the slight edge because he can be the best guy on a finals team, I believe. And I don't think Anthony Davis will ever get close to that because
you're going off of what you think, but you're not going off of what you literally know from what you've seen them do on a basketball court. Like this is like a projection list to you. You're saying Simmons could be the best player on a finals team.
The highest Anthony Davis has ever brought his team is to the sixth seed. Jokic has been 2 and 3.
Yeah, the highest Davis has brought his team is to a second round. You know where Jokic is? Second round. You know who Davis had to play in the second round? Golden State, the eventual champs. You know who Jokic had to play? Portland, who Davis destroyed the series before.
Davis played two games against a Curryless Warriors, and Jokic played out. The difference is
that
Jokic
Warriors team without Curry is still better than Portland. Durant, Dre, Clay, yeah. Iggy, yeah, that's enough.
Jokic averaging 25, 13, and 8 on 50, 39, 85 in the 14 playoff games last year. Has AD even played 14 career playoff games? I'm going to look it up right now. I don't even know if he's played 14 playoff games.
Yeah, because it took Jokic 7 to get past Denver. It took 7 to lose against, what's it called, Portland. Like, you're saying he's played more games, but that's because Davis swept Portland.
So he's played 13 games. So Jokic played more than 1 year.
Swept Portland.
But that's not the point.
You know who's the only team AD has lost to in the playoffs? Golden State.
How do you explain the years he didn't make the playoffs? Because Jokic has been making the playoffs.
Once. Jokic has made the playoffs.
This year.
Once. All right. Twice. Davis made it twice. And he's going to make it again with LeBron, and he would have made it without him.
But Davis has been in the league since, what, 2012?
Yeah, you're going back. You're going, like, back to what they've done then. I'm talking about now. Jokic, like, obviously, he has room to grow. But you're acting like he's already grown.
No, my case is that Jokic has the tools to be a number one option.
Yeah, your case is that he can be this number one option.
No, he is right now.
Oh, my God. All right.
The Nuggets are not a contender.
Do you think they're getting past the second round? Because I'm going to tell you what, they're not. I'm just going to tell you that. They're not.
They're not, but they're a contender. And they were definitely a contender last year. Jamal Murray does not have a bad game.
I don't think they're a top five team. I don't think they're a top five team in the league. And you don't either.
If Jamal Murray doesn't have that bad game last year, they're in the Western Conference Finals, and it's a different talk. Look,
but he lost. He lost at the end of the day. He lost.
And I think his skinniness is going to help him. Look, I watched his field goals.
I don't know. Part of his game is like bodying people.
No, and I'm going to get this right now. Because I did some heavy research on this. I watched all his field goals from the 2019 playoffs. And he's only utilizing his body to score effectively on 10 to 15% of those baskets. He uses his footwork and awareness to score baskets. That's
again,
the reason
your
why
argument
scoring.
Is you think he's going to do well with where his body is. You're projecting.
No, I'm watching.
You're missing a projection. No, but you're saying we don't know for a fact he will be better with he's lost like 40 pounds. That's a big change. You're projecting. You're just thinking he's going to do this.
You've
Davis,
let me finish.
As a ceiling razor, as a two-way player. No, I already know what you're going to say. You're going to throw out some stats that show why he is good. He's not the best with, like, he doesn't have to utilize his body as much. But I'm just saying, when you lose 40 pounds, I mean, you know this as well as anyone. It changes a lot about your body and just the way it functions.
I mean, if you watch his game, it's not as predicated on weight as people say. So I don't think that's going to – I think it's actually going to help him. I think Davis is a great player. I had him – if I could have them at a tie, I would have them at a tie. But Davis is a lot more injury prone as well. He misses an average of 15 games a season. He's kind of shown up in the playoffs. He's 31-13 in the playoffs. Obviously.
What do you mean? Yeah, we mean kind of. That's amazing. That's raising your game in the playoffs. 31-13. Are you serious? So he scores more than Jokic and is the way better defender by far than Jokic.
Who elevates his teammates?
That's one aspect of the game.
That's a big aspect of the game.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A really big
Davis
aspect.
Is the better scorer, better defender. I want to say their efficiency splits are around the same, and Davis is fitting what Davis can fit better without the ball. Davis doesn't need the ball. Your whole argument with the Dream Team was that Jokic needed the ball to fit it, to like be dominant.
Look, I'm not saying it's definitive that he's better. I'm saying
no, he's not.
That
I'm telling
like
you, he's
slight
not.
Edge. I'm giving the slight edge. And look,
bro, how?
Look, haven't you said availability is the best ability? Now, I factored that in slightly in this one, but Jokic is way more durable.
So you only factored it in. Your whole list didn't factor that in, and now it factors in.
I factored it slightly throughout my whole list. That's why Zion was 15.
15? He's played almost 15 games. He's played 19. He's played around that amount of games, and they've barely been positive in the games he's played.
Look, Jokic, I just think it's slightly better. He's slightly over Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis isn't a better crunch time player than Jokic.
Why is that? From like the three playoff shots that Jokic has hit or something like that?
No, the numbers this season, all seasons. Anthony Davis, you expect him to be a better fourth quarter option for a guy who seems unstoppable and can get a basket over anyone?
How about quarters
1-3?
How about quarters 1-3?
What about quarters
1-3? Did Jokic even close the All-Star game? Was he even on the court?
I don't know.
I don't think he was.
Probably not.
I know Davis was. He had the game-winning free throw.
He's playing on Team LeBron.
Hit the game-winning free throw.
Look, I'm not saying it's that big of an edge. I'm saying it's like a 1% margin, but I have...
No, it's not. There's no margin. Anthony Davis is better than Jokic.
Okay.
Why do you hate AD? Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him.
No, you have him 8th. You don't like him. Why do you have him so low? I don't get it. He's
because
two-way.
As a number
he's
one
sacrificed.
Option...
You love when him. All right, you want to talk about number one options? Like, you don't make that case with Kyle Lowry, but you make it with Davis.
Lowry's not the number one option right now.
We got to say that in the playoffs.
No, he is the number one option right now on the third, fourth best record.
I'm saying he is, but I have to see it in the playoffs. And Kyle Lowry's supporting cast is way better than Davis's. when he was the number one option. Way better. Not even close, actually.
Which is why I have Davis over him. I don't have Davis over him. But look,
you barely have him over.
That you, like, when you get into this tier, that you have to be, like, the more viable number one options are higher on my list. Which is why I have Jokic 7, Davis 8. Now, that's subject to change because this is so close. But right now, it's Jokic 7.
See, you know what? I have Jokic 7 as well.
So, who'd you have 8?
That's... I have Luka Doncic 8.
You're... I don't like that at all.
And... Well, where do you have... Do you have him top 5?
We'll get into it.
Oh, my gosh. This is the thing. He's so dominant, and he's an amazing scorer. He is literally pretty much... I mean, he's almost averaging a triple-double. Again, like 28-9-9. He's winning. But, again, he was the 4 seed. They'd be higher if he didn't miss games. And, look, as much as you love shooting, he's shooting 32% from 3. And when you talk about a guy like Luka, immediately you think inside-outside threat, but his three-point shooting is way lower than you think. He's shooting 46% from the field, which is good, but you would just expect him to be more efficient, elevates others, fits in with his team, and, you know, takes care of that offense, but he's negative on defense. And that really matters in the playoffs when teams attack that, and actually he's horrible on defense. And when I look at the games he's missed, making Dallas only the 7 seed when they should be higher if he's healthy. Again, got to be healthy. I only have him 8th.
I can't agree with that.
Why?
Luka Doncic, I don't want to get into it right now because I have him higher. But he's going to be the better option and more. I feel like he's... Like, I'd rather have a guy who hasn't shown up short and you don't know yet than a guy.
They're not getting past the first round. And all the guys I have ahead of him have shown up in the playoffs. So you can't use that I've never seen what he has over a guy who struggled. Like, all the guys I have ahead of him, I know have played well in the playoffs before.
Well, all of these guys have shown up in the playoffs, but you want to count the times they've come up short, too.
Yeah, but I imagine Luka will be the same thing. So, like, what do you mean? Well, you're saying...
Number 8 is really low. Number 8 is really low because you don't think he can be the best player on the championship team?
Bro, they're losing in the first round. What are you talking about?
Bro, if he's not injured, they're a top 4
seed. But he got injured. So they're going to lose in the first round to LA or LA. That's what's going to happen. All right?
They're seeding games. He's not going to be a 7 seed. I can tell you that. They're going to move up.
Right, if they move up. See, you're like, I feel like you're just projecting your list. And you're not going off of what we know. But I guess you love Luka that high. You think he'll do that. You know, I'll make a bet with you. Dallas doesn't get past the first round. I'll make that bet with you.
We'll make it after the seeding games. Look, I'm not so much projecting, but I want to be right about all this. And I feel like I'm gonna be right. I want to be right when it's all said and done. I don't want to be right and have to change my mind. And I feel like this is my ranking. How it's gonna be when everything plays out.
His three point shooting is lower than I thought, and his defense is bad. Like it's atrocious. And he got injured and missed time. And you got to be available, especially in the West. Only a 7 seed. I know they have a great record, but I just. Again, you're only the 7th seed. Who am I going to put him higher than? All the guys I have ahead of him, I think you would agree with. Except for Jokic and Davis, because you don't like... You just don't like centers. Like, you don't get caught up on the position thing.
Well, I don't... I it's not that I don't like centers.
Pretty much plays like a guard.
Name the last championship team that had the center as the centerpiece of the team.
Duncan.
He's not center. Don't even tell yourself that. No, I'm talking okay. Center. All right. There's a difference between a power forward and center.
You say that Davis doesn't even want to play center. And first of all, I'm talking just bigs.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm saying.
Duncan's just as much as a big as Davis, Embiid, Jokic.
I wasn't talking about Davis. I was talking more in Jokic, Embiid. But Yeah.
So, all right, you have Luka higher. We'll get into that. I have Jokic 7. Who do you have number 6? It's James Harden, isn't it, right? I actually know 6.
Jason Tatum.
I have Jason Tatum 6 as well.
So yeah, we know he was averaging 31 over his past 10 games. Right?
He's so good.
He is.
Like, I'm here to tell the league this. Jason Tatum is so good. Like, it doesn't even make sense sometimes.
Hey,
how he gets his baskets.
Hey, you just told me that you want to talk about what we know right now.
This is kind of one of your things
that you're doing it based on what you think he'll be.
He was the 4th best player in the league in March.
Look,
I know that.
You're doing what I'm doing. You want to be right in 2 months from now. So you've got Jason Tatum 6.
No, I'm going off of what I know. He's shooting pretty much 40% from 3, 80 from free throw. And like you said, in the month of March, he was tearing it up, scoring 31 a game. I'm going off what I saw. In March, he was the 4th best player in the league.
And with Simmons, I was going off what I saw.
In that Lakers game in March that I love to point out because it was such a great game, he was unguardable. Same thing when they play the Clippers. Same thing when they play Houston. Boston always plays other championship caliber teams well, and he's the best player on Boston. That's why I have him so high.
I've got him 6-2. He might be the best shooter in the top 10. He's an elite wing defender. He's great on pick and roll and helps side defense too.
Elite two-way player.
Yeah, when I watch his defense, it's really Celtic-like, kind of like Bill Russell. He plays defense to create offense rather than guys who don't care about saving it in bounds or swat it 10 feet into the stands. After he gets a block or steal, he's always immediately searching for the ball, and he's always taking his own block or deflection, and he's getting points immediately at the other end. I love
that. Yeah, like Simmons, I saw just on his rotations and his defensive knowledge went up through the roof. And I feel like a lot of people didn't really – I feel like people paid attention to it more with Simmons, but Tatum definitely went up a level on defense. You could definitely tell.
So he never plays lazy. He can guard 5 positions. I was watching the Lakers game that Sunday.
He can't guard like Embiid.
You talk about that Lakers game? He was playing great D on AD in the post. Did you watch it?
Yeah, but they had guys to switch on him. It wasn't like him solely guarding. Like, I know Jalen had him for some time. Tice had him for a lot of games.
AD was making Williams. His moves before they could bring help side. So.
Yeah, we agree on Tatum. He's ridiculous. He's one of the most unstoppable offensive players in the league, but doesn't seem to dominate the ball and can play with others. Amazing teammate. And now he's clearly has his confidence, which you can tell he hasn't had these past years. I'm happy with Tatum's rolling a lesser
Kawhi Leonard.
Just about to say that, where their one big weakness in the game, unfortunately, is elevating others, which is one of the most important, but just as what they can do. Like, we both think Boston's getting to the finals, and it's because of Tatum. And I'd say they're the favorite. Like, going off of what I've seen, they're the favorite. Giannis is the better player, but I think his supporting cast is worse.
Wait, so you have AD over him?
AD over who? Tatum?
Yeah.
I got AD high. I love AD.
You think AD can be the best player on a finals team? Because I think Tatum could be.
If you gave AD Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Tice, Hayward, Smart, yeah, I do. If you gave him that team, oh yeah.
I don't know about that, but here, I'll say this.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to continue my case for Tatum because I just feel like we've got to educate the people on Jason Tatum. So in 2018, he really shut up. He had a historic playoff run considering his age. He's learning as the game goes. And
to be fair, in 2019, he struggled.
No, he did.
I don't want to blame it all on Kyrie because Tatum had a bad year. But again, I'm going off what I saw this year, and he was amazing.
But that third year in the playoffs for a player gets scary. That's when he starts elevating.
Oh, yeah.
He's averaging 24 a game for the 3 seed in the East.
He clearly made the leap this year. Like, the leap. You could tell he wasn't even close to the same player. Like, where would you have ranked Tatum in 2019? Top 50?
Yeah, I have no clue.
He might have missed my top 50, and now he's almost in my top 5. That's
insane. Some people are gonna say that his playmaking isn't that good, but because of the system that Brad Stevens runs, he doesn't need to be as good a playmaker as other guys. His confidence elevates him so much.
Yeah, that, that, that's That's why, honestly, that's why he's so high. It's because he clearly has the confidence to just destroy anyone on the court.
Look, he's more confident than... I could make a case that I'd rather have Tatum over Harden in this playoffs. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. But look, Tatum says he thinks he's the best player every night. His mindset is probably top three on this list. And he knows he can be the best player on the finals team. If the Celtics make the finals, he's definitely in our top five. And he's played good against great teams. In the two Clippers meetings against Kawhi, he dropped 30 and 39.
Lakers, like I said, he elevates against the best teams in the league.
Yeah, he dropped 27 and 41. And he split against the Clippers and Lakers, I think, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And also, that Lakers game, Kemba didn't even play. Brad Wanamaker got like 30 minutes that game.
Yeah.
And they lost by like two. It took LeBron's late fadeaway on Jaylen Brown to win that game.
He split against the Bucks too, and they didn't have Jaylen Brown in that loss. They match up so good against Milwaukee too.
Yeah,
like
they
Milwaukee
do.
Gives
Boston's
you three.
Boston's taking the finals. I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be very surprised if they they're the third seed right now, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine the top three is gonna stay the same: Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston. I think they're all gonna stay the same seeds. If Boston loses to Toronto, I'd actually be shocked.
I think Toronto has a better chance of beating.
I'd be very surprised if they don't even make the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd be really surprised.
It's unbelievable how good Boston matches up with Milwaukee. It's so coincidental. Like everything that Milwaukee gives you and that they're not good at, Boston is great at. They're 2-1 against Toronto this year too. And against the best of the best, he plays up to his comp, unlike Harden, kind of.
I don't know about that.
And my only thing was that he would have struggled against the Pacers because the Celtics struggle against the Pacers with their size in the front court. But with Sabonis out, I'm locked for Celtics to make finals.
Well, I got news to you. They'd beat your Pacers no matter who was playing, so.
Well, we don't know now, but.
Well, I
got
do
Tatum
know.
At six. That's my
case. I got Tatum six. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So who you got five?
James Harden.
Same. I think he's shown up short in too many clutch moments, but he's been the best
our
player.
Our top tens are basically the same except for AD and Luka. You have Luka way higher. I have AD way higher.
You mean top eight, because I had Simmons and Lowry, and you really don't like them.
Our top eights are the exact same thing, except if you switch AD and Luka at 8 and 4 for either of us. Wow. Same thing for Damian Lillard and Lowry.
Yeah. So Harden's been the best player on a finals caliber team.
They were going to win the championship. I really believe that. I really do believe that. I think most basketball fans believe that they're winning the championship. You know what? I'm not going to say that because what LeBron did in game one was extraordinary. I wouldn't put it past LeBron to beat Houston by himself, but I'd say Houston's definitely the favorite in that series. Like, everyone's saying, I hate how there's this stigma with James Harden that you can't win with that guy when you clearly can. Like, not even win a championship, but you can win basketball games with him as your best player. Like,
well, now
stop
you can't.
Saying you can't.
Now you can't because you got Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows how that'll turn out. Do you think Houston will lose first round if they play, like, Denver?
No clue.
That's going to be a fun series.
Yeah, that would actually be a really fun series.
Westbrook has no excuse if he doesn't torch Jamal Murray.
Houston, Denver, the size, small ball to big ball.
That's going to be really fun.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time, though, that James Harden overperformed or went berserk in a playoff game and won the game for them.
2018, he was looking like that.
I don't know. What's his signature playoff moment? He doesn't have one.
And again, look at the guys in Golden State who they have to guard him. Clay, you could throw on him. Iggy, they threw Livingston on him. Like, they have a lot of guys to throw on him.
I wrote a lot of stuff about James Harden that's pretty, like, demeaning, but I still think he's top five. But I wrote that his points per game dropped by 7 points last year in the playoffs, and his field goal percentage dropped to the mid-30s. He's still a 51 guy who drops 30 to 35 a game, but I'm not sure I've ever said that. I've said, like, whoa, he went off that series. And if he hasn't figured it out by now, I just think that it's going to be a lot harder with Russ on his team.
This is kind of like my LeBron. Look how I said with LeBron. Like, let's just look at Houston's past playoff losses. 2019, they lose to Golden State. 2018, they lose to Golden State. 2017, they lose to San Antonio. All right, that was when Harden had the really bad series. 2015, they lose to Golden State. Like, all these years, they lose to Golden State. And Harden, that dude's a winner. That dude knows how to win. And what? You could even see it. I even saw it late in those games. A lot of people criticized him when Durant went out and for not taking over the game. But he made a lot of great decisions down the stretch in those games. So I'm not going to knock him for it. And, you know, he plays well. He clearly does.
I have a question. Do you think James Harden's a better player than Steph Curry?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No, no, no. Okay. No, no. Okay. No, no. Let's not get silly. Okay. Why would I think that?
I don't know. I was wondering.
The only time I'd rank James higher in an All-NBA team was 2018, and that's because Curry got hurt. And because James' team was winning when Curry had the better supporting cast. I think that's fair. Just 1 year.
Okay. So every other year, I get Harden at five. We both got Harden at five.
Roland.
So
number four is where we disagree.
Who do you have at number four?
AD. And you have Luka.
Yep. You first.
I've gotten into AD so much. Just give me your case for Luka.
So he's been on big stages despite him just getting to the NBA. He
hasn't played a single playoff game ever.
Look, let's talk about it. He won the Eurobasket tournament in 2017. Spanish Liga ACB title and the EuroLeague title. He's won EuroLeague MVP, EuroLeague Final Four MVP, a Rising Star Award, and the Spanish Liga ACB MVP. He's played in environments without fans like the EuroBasket tournament, and he's been amazing on the road. The Mavs have the fourth best road record in the league with Luka. He's averaging more points and assists on the road. He's so good on offense. My whole thing has always been a great offensive player can make up 70% of an offense, and a great defensive player can do at most like 30 to 35% of an offense in this era. I mean, for a defense in this era, he's everything for the Mavs. They were like 6-8 without him this year. They're 4-0 when he drops 40 plus. So when he's going off, they win. They have the best offensive rating in the league and of all time. Late in the game, he's top three in players in terms of players I want.
Yeah,
with one sure. Hands.
He's a very clutch player.
He has a go-to shot, which is going to help a lot in the playoffs. The centerpiece of the statistically best offense of all time, and the gap between him and the number two best offensive team is the gap between number two and 10. He's shooting 75% at the rim, which is first among the top scorers, probably. I'm not sure about that. And the thing about drawing fouls, he's so smart with drawing fouls, like his foul shots are going to translate to the playoffs. It's something about European guys just being so meticulous and selling the play like the Spurs were. But
yeah,
he was first in free throws in the EuroLeague too. Like, he's a foul technician.
All right, can I give my case for AD? Are you done yet?
I'm not. Let me just finish.
All right, keep going. My bad.
So I think the Mavs have an actual chance to make the playoffs. They have the best offense of all time. And the other four top five offenses all made the finals, and they're the fourth best net rating. The last eight champions have been top four net rating. So the Mavs, watch out, Luka Doncic. It's my case.
This is my thing. So Davis again has been more healthy than Luka this year. For all the injury concerns, Davis is more efficient from the field, more efficient from three, more efficient from the free throw, and even your effective field goal percentage, which you love because Luka takes more threes, Davis still is higher in effective field goal percentage.
It was true shooting percentage, but now he might be in higher than that too. True shooting percentage? Actually, well, what's the true shooting percentage?
Effective field goal percentage, isn't that like very similar?
No, it's not. I mean, it's similar, but it's not the same. True shooting is the best one, I believe. It accounts for all the facets of the game.
All right, well, either way, effective field goal percentage, which is a little bit the same, higher, and just PER, Davis, higher, win shares, up, also Davis. Look, all Luka has in him is assists. That's it. And Davis is the way better defender by far, not even
close.
Wait a
minute. Can't you make the same case between Davis and LeBron? that Davis has a higher PER, everything, whatever, except assist?
No. You want to know why you can't make that case? Because you watch the games and LeBron is just a better player. That's how.
And you watch the games and Luka is the better player.
No. When he's healthy. And I'm not... Come on, bro. Luka Davis is not... Luka Davis. Luka Doncic is not better than Anthony Davis.
We're talking healthy. Anthony Davis, on average, misses 15 games a year.
And LeBron isn't the defender that Luka is, for the case you just made.
Okay. LeBron isn't close to the defender. I mean, he's not... I mean, no.
And LeBron's win... And LeBron's win shares is higher than...
But Luka, LeBron's Davis. One. Luka's and, four.
Well, I'm just... We'll get into the top one eventually, but... Your whole thing with Luka is like, look, you have a top five player as the best player in a seven seed? Really? That's your top five?
Again, they
best
have
player in a seven seed?
They're 6-8 without him. If he's not injured, they're probably three or four seed.
Don't get injured. Like, that matters. You have to be available.
You know what matters? That they
bring
look that they're 6-8 in the games without Luka, but without AD, I'm pretty sure they have a winning record. So what's that about?
Well, first of all, that team would, like, you'd expect them to have a winning record with LeBron. If Luka was playing on the Lakers, the games, if he missed 14 games, they'd have a winning record too without him, because LeBron is LeBron James. But, so, I don't really know what the argument is. Davis is fitting better as a two guy, so he knows how to sacrifice. Like, come on, bro. Davis is better. Come on.
Look, anyone would look good as Davis as a two guy.
Experience
before
Davis.
Before LeBron, the question was, can Davis be a two guy? Don't act like Davis is just like this perfectly fitting two guy. Like,
he
until
is,
LeBron,
no,
it was like, can Davis be a two guy?
Yeah, but
no,
he's fitting perfectly with LeBron. And that's when people were like, how does LeBron fit with bigs? He didn't fit amazingly with Chris Bosh and Kevin Love. Like, people were
exactly. LeBron is so, he's so adaptable. That you automatically believe that Anthony
Davis
is a better
two
guy.
So Davis gets no credit. Davis gets no credit.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't assume he's a better two guy than Luka Doncic.
How would Luka be the better two guy? Luka has the ball in his hands most of the time.
He's a better number one option. He's a better number one option.
He's on a seven seed right now. Did you know that?
Want to talk about 6-8 record without him?
Play healthy. You're making my case. Again, he missed 14 games. You got to play those games.
What about Anthony Davis? Did he miss 10 games?
Yeah, not 14.
Okay, four games, four spots, right?
It matters. Like, and also, like, you want to mention that Luka's the better number one option. Davis has been to the second round as number one option. Is Luka going to make the second round this year?
How long has Davis been in the league? 8 years?
That's why he's higher, because he's been in the league 8 more years.
Yet how many playoff series has he won?
More.
One.
That's
one.
How many Luka?
How old is Luka?
How many? How many?
Which is why.
How
we'll
many?
We'll talk after. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll make that bet with you right now. On the pod, listeners as our witness, I'll make the bet right now that they don't make the second round, Dallas. I'll make the bet. And if they do, you get to say, I told you so. You can do all that.
No. We'll just have an I told you so after it's all said and done.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Put your money where your mouth is. All right. Enough of this. We both made our cases. Our top three. I have a feeling our top threes will be the same, but just in case.
Three, who you have?
Number three, I have Giannis.
Me too.
Come on. Best two-way player in the league, I think. Kawhi's debatable, but what Giannis has been able to do, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. His stats are ridiculous. Puts up like 30, 13, and 5 when only playing 30 minutes per game. If you adjust, he's probably putting up like 33, 14, and like 7. He's been ridiculous for Milwaukee. With his second best player is Chris Middleton. They're the number one seed in the league. Dominated this season. And the only reason Milwaukee is in title contention is because of him. Without him, they might not get past the first round. Elevates others. Can get to the rim at will. One of the most skilled players. One of the most smart players on defense. Can guard 1-5. He just hasn't done what Kawhi or LeBron has done in the playoffs before. And doesn't have the experience and just, you know, I don't think he's as good as Kawhi and LeBron. I think 3 is a good spot for him.
I think so, too. I think he's number 3 because he hasn't proven what the top two guys have.
He very
you
can
definitely make the case that he's been as dominant as so far as anyone. But late in games, he's not a go-to guy to get a bucket because he doesn't have a reliable jump shot.
That's the biggest thing. You can go to LeBron and Kawhi.
Yeah, but at this point, he's too good to be stopped in a single series. But I just think it's the little things that's going to come down to it. And
it always comes down to little things. Yep. And that's why we have LeBron and Kawhi higher. All right. Number two. We agree on Giannis. I think almost every basketball fan in the world would have Giannis as the third best player right now.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't think so? I feel like that's such like a unanimous spot for him. Behind Kawhi, LeBron, ahead of everyone else.
I don't know about that.
When Durant and Curry come back, that could change, but I think he's good at three.
All right, let's get into one and two.
Number two, I have LeBron.
Wow.
I'm joking.
Oh my God. That's not a good joke to make.
I have Kawhi Leonard number two.
That's better. So, I mean, he's great to get you a stop. He'll get you a bucket. He's a 2-time finals MVP. He'll perform on the biggest stage.
Yep.
Career high in points and assists. He'll take over stale games like Game 7 versus Sixers. And he might have been number one at the beginning of the season, but seeing what LeBron has done, that title's back to LeBron's name.
And again, I'm going off of what I've seen. And in that last stretch of March, when I saw LeBron guard Giannis and beat Milwaukee, and then when I saw LeBron guard Kawhi and beat the Clippers while outplaying Giannis and Kawhi in those games and winning it, just the level he was able to play at and where he elevated the Lakers. And honestly, after LeBron and Davis, that supporting cast is pretty lackluster, if you're just being honest. The Clippers' supporting cast after Kawhi PG is way better than what the Clippers have. Who would you say the third best player is?
Danny Green.
Jesus. Yeah, he's not Lou Will, Trez, all of them. But my whole thing with LeBron is we talk about elevating others, doing whatever it takes to win, playing defense, scoring, shooting, getting to the line, directing traffic, leadership, teammate, little things, all the qualities that it takes to be the best guy in the league and to be the guy LeBron has been for the last decade. LeBron's my best player in the league at age 35. Crazy how he keeps doing it at year 17, but I have LeBron's best player in the league.
As much as people hate to admit it,
in the playoffs, but we'll see.
I was going to say, as much as people hate to admit it, he is injury prone. Kawhi Leonard. He has a degenerative condition.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention load management when we make the LeBron case.
And
LeBron
he's never played more than 74 games in a season.
And I don't think he'll ever get past like 70 the rest of his career. It seems like he's going to load manage the rest of his career.
The thing about LeBron, he's just more productive with the ball in his hands. He has double Kawhi's assist, even though Kawhi has a higher usage rate. LeBron has been just as good a three-point shooter as Kawhi this year. And he might not be a better defender, but on a deciding play, there's not one player right now
healthy in the playoffs, who LeBron
couldn't lock down.
In the playoffs, I feel like their defense is going to be like pretty similar.
Yeah.
They're like, both going to be playing at an A++++ level on defense.
Who couldn't LeBron lock down on a single play?
I'd say only maybe Giannis.
I wouldn't even say that. He did just so with like, the game.
Well, yeah. I mean, shoot. Maybe Tatum.
Maybe. LeBron might not be the better defender, but he's more versatile, I think, than Kawhi.
And just elevating others. That ends it for me.
Yeah. But did you see in the scrimmage? He was holding down Vooch, and Vooch couldn't budge him in the match against the Magic.
He's a beast.
Vooch is 260.
And also, somehow, LeBron looks more athletic than he's ever been. I saw this one dunk he had in transition in a scrimmage, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And when he's off
the court, I saw it, and I was like, whoa, that was powerful.
When LeBron's off the court, the team looks a lot worse than when Kawhi's off the court.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing. It's just what they are on the court with LeBron. They're the best team in the league. And that's, again, most of it has to do with LeBron. I think if you really want to make the argument, I feel like it can be made. I definitely wouldn't agree with it for Kawhi. But I think you got to have LeBron as the number one player for what we've seen this year.
Yeah, and the thing about Kawhi is he doesn't elevate others, so you've always got to have scoring threats around him on the court.
Yeah, which is LeBron, why LeBron is like, you throw LeBron on your team, stir, add water, and you might win a championship. Literally. It doesn't matter who he's playing with. It really doesn't.
Yeah, and I get Kawhi's the best, like, get a stop, get a bucket guy, but LeBron's the best get a stop and get a bucket for a team kind of guy.
Yeah, like, everyone, yeah. I don't care who scores at the end. I just care if the ball gets in the if the ball is in the person's hands who need to be. If LeBron draws a double on a drive and kicks it to Danny Green for an open three, I'm fine with that. That's the right play. So I like, just because Kawhi is scoring doesn't take away from LeBron setting up someone else to score. Like, it's the same. It's all the same thing to me. If he was setting up Dwight Howard for a three, that'd be different. But it's not. Like, I remember this one time he got criticized because he didn't take a game when he didn't take a shot in the clutch because he kicked it to Kyle Korver for an open three. Kyle Korver, of all people to shoot a three. How many guys would you want to shoot an open three before Kyle Korver?
Exactly.
JJ Redick, maybe? Like Steph Curry? Seriously, what are we talking about here? LeBron is, I think, the best player in the league. I think in the playoffs, if everyone stays healthy, it will go to it. And yeah, that's where we got it.
You know what I don't like though? That people are gonna assume that the Lakers had the better team versus the Clippers when
don't
you look back
that.
At history just because they think Anthony Davis was better than Paul George. You know what I'm saying?
Anthony Davis is better than Paul George. We
but
both
I'm saying
agree
people,
with that.
People will say that the Lakers were the better team.
Yeah, like two their second best player versus second best player. Like, let's just say Kawhi LeBron are a wash, equal. Davis is better than Paul George, but 3 through 7, I think the Clippers win every matchup.
3 through 10, 3 through 15.
Yeah, really. Just like for the guys that are going to play in the playoffs, like.
Yeah.
We
I'm
agree.
So excited to see LeBron play. He's played
yeah,
first
can't
game
wait.
Against Clippers, right?
Tomorrow, 9 o'clock, TNT.
Anthony Davis might not play.
Uh-oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Well, we'll talk about it next pod. We'll see what happens, but. Can't wait to have basketball left. Can't wait to see all these players play again. It feels great to have these guys back in our lives again.
It really does. I love it.
And that's about going to do it for us. We close out the list, our top 40. We're going to be back on Sunday or Monday. You'll hear the next podcast, and we're just going to be breaking down the season, how it's going to be going, because it's going to start tomorrow. And again, we can't wait. And that's all I got for me.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace.